was short.
The eight top stories of the day in 8 minutes. We call it the Ocho. We've got Hugh Millen in here sitting with us on the Ocho. I just guide. Then we let Hugh just throw elbows.
Yeah, you drive.
I drive it. Get him the ball down in the paint.
He drops knowledge.
Yeah.
And I just get to sit here.
You just sit out there, put your toes on the line and drain threes.
Yeah.
That's what you need to do.
That's a good idea.
And then just let it
pull.
We'll just work from the inside out.
Okay.
Hughes, our Hakeem Olajuwon big man.
Yep.
And we'll just let him do all the work.
Dunking and raking things off the board.
Oh, yeah, yeah. There's finesse. There's power to his game. You
That's why I feel good. I can just throw my prayer up there, and even if I miss.
Right. Whitmer. The Rockets did.
It's Derek Whitmer. It's Hakeem Olajuwon. Just ripping down my... He's ripping down my boards.
Yeah. All right, well, let's get things going.
That was against Olajuwon, wasn't it?
What's that?
The 83 game, NC State.
Oh, man.
Mm.
Derek Wittenberg on the air ball.
That's right. Well, it was Lo Charles that got the dunk.
Yeah.
But, yes, it was the Hakeem Olajuwon team.
Yeah, he was standing around watching.
Yeah, exactly.
He had popcorn for that.
We had three people trying to block him out.
Well, I think he'd only been playing basketball to that point for like 15 minutes.
Yeah. He was trying to decide whether he was going to bicycle kick him.
Exactly.
Reach up and use his hands.
Soccer playing country. Soccer loving country.
I'm a goalie. I can use my hands.
All right, well, let's get to item number one. Obviously, it's Monday Night Football. The Seahawks fall to the Bears.
Snap back. Here's the throw. Oh! And it's sitting out and picking off. I'm over at 40. I'm over at 30. To the 20. Inside cut on Russell Wilson. Five end zone. Pick six. Goodbye, Prince Amukamara.
Man, it just did not feel Wilson-y. I mean, he hasn't thrown a pick six since his rookie season. It's the time of the game where even though the Seahawks, we've seen plenty of times, Hugh, where they were outplayed and yet they stuck around and then give Wilson the ball in the fourth quarter. That's where he shines. He had 19 of his 34 touchdown passes last year in the fourth quarter. It just seemed like it was so shocking because you weren't expecting that at all because that's just not in
not
Russell's
his,
repertoire.
Yeah, it's not his DNA. Yeah, we broke that play down in great detail, but basically looked like the Bears were waiting for that. It was an empty package play, so it's easier for a player to lock in. And for a corner, a veteran corner, when he's out over the top of a running back, that's a zone indicator. And they all played it as if they knew exactly. It was a seam by the inside guy and a hitch by the outside guy. And if you're going to run a hitch, a running back against a corner's not fearing. The only other thing he could fear is a go route. Well, Rashad Penny is not a blazer. You know, he's not Chris who's the guy for the Titans? Chris Jackson. You know, so
Chris Johnson.
Yeah. Chris Johnson. Yeah, excuse me. And so when Rashad Penny comes out and his strides are short and his shoulders are back, there's nothing about his route technique, his body language that suggests he's trying to run a go route. So Mukamara, you know, he squatted, took a little bit of a risk, and obviously it paid off for the Bears.
Yeah, it was the backbreaker. There was even though they still found a way to make it interesting there toward the end, the Bears hold on to win this one by a final score of 24-17. The offensive struggles continue. The offense was downright anemic in the first half. Got going a little bit in the second half once the team fell two scores down. But the offensive struggles have been a big topic of conversation today and will continue to be until things get fixed. Here's Russell.
You know, I think they made some plays. That's what I think, you know. A good defense, you know. So we'll watch the film and we'll figure out how to continue to get better. That's the only assessment we really need right now. We're right there. You know, we believe that, you know, and we're going to find our way.
This might be just me talking out of my rear end, so I'll lean on you to fix whatever I say wrong. But 2 weeks into a brand new system, I think he doesn't look all that comfortable in Brian Schottenheimer's offense to this point. I mean, somebody that maybe has had it drilled into his head that we stay in the pocket, we don't run, and now I think it's in his head. Is that unfair to say at this point?
No, I think there's definitely signs of that. He's not as anticipatory as he needs to be.
Yeah.
I think that kind of the last, you know, when you go in college, you take 100 level, you take psych 101, and then, you know, as you get older, you're taking 300, 400 level classes, and if you go to grad school, they're, you know, 500 level. I think the highest level of quarterbacking and for the highest level of quarterbacks is eye manipulation and anticipatory throws. Now, it goes without saying that you've got to throw with accuracy.
Right.
But when you have a plan for where you're going to go and where you put your eyeballs, manipulates guys in subtle ways, and then you take your quick hitch or no hitch, you know, and you're getting the ball off on either no hitch or one hitch. Anytime you see a guy taking two hitches, that starts to be a problem. I remember when I was at the Cowboys, North Turner was the offensive coordinator, and, you know, Troy Aikman had things dialed in pretty good. You know, it was our goal to try and go through the entire 7-on-7 session, and team even for that matter, and throw every ball off of zero or one hits. You know, even checkdowns. Make your decision. Let the defense tell you where the ball is going. Get it rid of it. And be anticipatory. And so I think that right now he doesn't look like he's in one of those 400-level classes.
Mm. Numbers are pretty good.
Maybe 200 at best, right, in this offense.
Yeah, you're in at the end of the game, the numbers don't look so bad. 22 for 36, 226 yards, two touchdowns, and an interception. But it took a long time to get any kind of offense going last night.
I don't know. I kind of reject that. I think that the first half was such an abject abortion.
Yep.
That it was embarrassing football for anybody. Look, if you that's a proud franchise. That was embarrassing, what they did on offense. That wasn't just bad series here or there. The whole thing was just a colossal mess. It set football back two generations. not just Bill Walsh, Vince Lombardi. I don't care anybody with a love of football. They're rolling in their grave. That was horrible. So, I don't know. I mean, I guess you credit they stayed in it, and that's part of it. The pass rush is going to start to die down in the second half, but I think that I can't get through how bad that first half was to even, you know, and even the third quarter. I
mean, yeah, third quarter they had 1 yard.
Yeah, and the pick six was in the fourth quarter. I mean, you know, how narrow of a window do you want to present to me before I get excited about how the Seahawks play? I'm telling you, it's going to be pretty thin, right?
Mm-hmm. So you're saying that Jim Thorpe was looking at that game like, what happened to offense?
Yeah,
Jim Thorpe.
Doc yeah. Blanchard is like, what is this?
Jeez.
How far?
You guys aren't very good.
Frank Leahy.
exactly. What happened to Chris Carson? That's the big mystery about this game last night. He started. We spent a lot of time last week talking about how he has to get more than 7 carries. You know, they've been talking about establishing the run. When are they going to try and establish the run? When are they going to give themselves fully to establishing the run? Well, Carson starts the game, 2 carries, gets a first down, gets a third carry to start the game. I didn't know that was going to be 3 of his 6 carries for the entire night. His last carry came at the 11:45 mark of the second quarter, and we didn't see Chris Carson touch the ball again. Why only
say
6
that again.
Carries, Pete?
Say that. That time
last
frame again.
Last carry was at 11:45 in the second quarter. That was his last carry. That's it for number 32.
Wow. But a quarter and a half, quarter and a third. That's good.
Yeah.
Here's what Pete said.
He was a little gassed from working on special teams and helping us. We had some guys around, so he had kind of double dip. And really, I wanted to see how we could do with Rashad and give him some playing time, get him out there.
Can I insert a little audible?
Sure.
Can we have a little fun? I mean, we're all grieving about the Seahawks loss, but we have some levity. Can we have some texters text in a worse excuse in public than, okay, I'll start off. A worse excuse than a second-year running back was too gassed to carry the football for 42 minutes. I'll start off. Well, he stole Shaquem Griffin's wallet, so it was an inter-team discipline. That would be a worse thing if I'm Chris Carson. So let's see if we can have...
Yeah.
Do we have a text line? Can we... A worse lie than... He was too gassed to carry the football for the last 42 minutes. Again.
Blitz stubbed his talon, and Chris Carson had to fill in as the mascot.
There it is. Blitz got him. Blitz with the talon. Those are sharp talons.
How about this? He's 7 months pregnant, and running backs shouldn't get the ball in their third trimester.
You just went right to DEFCON 1, didn't you? You just went to imminent nuclear war, right? I mean, just right off the bat.
That's good.
You told me.
Bucky?
That's good. Well, I heard actually Rashad Penny said he'd buy him dinner a couple times if he'd let him get more.
Rashad Penny, just
bonus baby,
circumnavigating the whole process, mm-hmm. right? With just straight bribery, man. That's biblical times. Yeah, that's a motivator.
Did you hear my one from earlier?
No.
Yeah, he got caught insider trading.
No, they play those guys.
That wouldn't have done that. Yeah, they would. That's what he said. He would have slapped him on the butt and said, "We're fine with that kid. Get back in there."
All right,
that's not below the floor. What are you talking about?
All right, well, get your texts in. We'll read some of those a little bit later on then. Item number 4 on the Ocho, the Hawks starting now 0-2. You know the stat, 11% of teams that start the season 0-2 don't make the playoffs. Is there any recovering from this? Here's Greg Bell.
Well, it depends. If you want the empirical, are they going to make the playoffs, the outlook's not good.
Yeah.
Since 2002... when they've gone to the NFL, went to 14 divisions across the board, 11% of playoff teams started 0-2.
I stole his thunder there, didn't I? Sorry about that. Just in case you didn't believe me, Greg just verified that.
See, you're no Pete Carroll.
You know what?
Have you ever thought how you steal thunder? Like, and why would you?
I didn't want to. It wasn't intentional. Anyway, I don't know if you've heard, but only 11% of teams that start 0-2 make the playoffs. Yeah.
Well, you're saying there's a chance.
So there's a chance. There's definitely a chance. Little outside of the Seahawks last night for our final four items. Patriots traded for Josh Gordon yesterday. Penny for your thoughts, Hugh, on that transaction.
Well, I got a text from my son, who's a huge Patriot fan, with a lot of exclamation marks proclaiming the news. I think it's great for them. They need playmakers. They just have a way. The Patriots have kind of just laying in the weeds. They usually have a stinker in September, and everybody figures they're left for dead. They're going to get Edelman back in week 5. Now they get Josh Gordon, and they need to upgrade, and he'll be an upgrade.
I think he's going to blow up, and I mean positively. Yeah. I mean, he could blow up the other way. He's got, I mean, he's a really interesting cat. But, you know, he operates on a different level in some ways.
Oh, he's a bad dude. Now, I said for a generation, Joe Montana's the greatest quarterback of all time, and then finally I think Brady has wrested that mantle. One of the arguments for Brady in that is, who is he thrown to? And he's just had guys that didn't do anything before or after. Remember now, when they picked up Randy Moss, that wasn't the Minnesota Viking. That was, he had already been to Oakland and done nothing.
Yep.
And then he gets him remotely near his prime. Brady gets him 23 touchdowns. NFL record.
Yep.
Randy Moss had 23 touchdowns after coming from Oakland. So you never know what Brady could do with Josh Gordon.
On a scale from 1 to 10, receiver talent, Josh Gordon is a 12. Just so you know, and that could be scary. Huskies prep for the Devils, 17.5 points, really? That's the spread right now in that game?
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. Ben Burke-Kirvin was named Defensive Player of the Week in the Pac-12, so congratulations to him. The Mariners rallied last night in Houston thanks to Dan Vogelbach's Grand Slam, so they've now won 4 of their last 5. Leave it to the Mariners. They play their best when no one's watching.
Mm-hmm.
Game of Thrones won Best Drama last night at the Emmys.
Ooh, yeah.
Boy, I don't understand that at all.
I love it.
When it was the great show, when it was the best show on television, it didn't win the award.
Right.
Now that it's completely gone off the cliff and it isn't anywhere similar to as good a story as it once was, now it wins 2 years in a row.
That's
don't understand.
Very true.
All right, coming up next, we will have Softy stop by. He'll pay a visit to our Monday morning quarterback session with Hugh Millen. Talk a little Seahawks, talk a little Huskies with him. Sports Radio 950 KJR.
This is for capitalized cost.
Ladies and gentlemen,
coming to you live on Seattle's original diehard sports station, Seattle Sports Radio 950, KJR. Now back to Chuck and Buck in the morning.
Yeah, he, you know, we had gone to, it's kind of going to the well, you know, he had a running back out there and he hung for it and really he just took a shot at it and he was right and he made a great play. He made a perfect play. You can't even remember the last time Russ did that, you know, where he threw a ball with a guy stole like that. And so somebody asked if it was characteristic. No, it isn't. That just happened.
So much to talk about. Apparently, it's a horrific memory for Slick Hawk.
I think so.
Yeah, playing that.
It's not in a good place today.
Music there.
It's not.
We've got new Melanier for Monday morning quarterback on a Tuesday. Well, we've got two powerful forces that are about to collide. You got one storm front. It's normally here on Monday. And then you got a Tuesday storm front. And then you got to do Monday night football things on a Tuesday. Mm-hmm. And the storm fronts are inevitably going to collide at some point.
Right.
Well, now's that moment. Because it's David Softy Mahler's turn to join the program.
Oh, that's a song.
This is Husky Tuesdays with the ultimate honk himself, Dave Softy Mahler. It's our weekly conversation recapping what went on over the weekend and looking ahead at this week's upcoming game. Brought to you by Evergreen Salad, serving naturally sourced salads, wraps, and grain bowls at 11 locations throughout Seattle and Bellevue. Find a location near you at evergreens.com. Now with Softy, here's Chuck and Buck.
Is that how you're billing yourself now, the ultimate honk?
I'm not billing myself anything. I'm billing myself freaking bored out of my mind. That's what I'm billing myself.
At what?
That's up to you guys.
At what? What are you bored out of your mind?
Everything, life, the whole thing. Everything. Irritated right now with the Seahawks, to be honest with you.
You're not bored.
Anyway, I'm going to pull Avante Davis, and I'm going to leave halfway through this conversation.
Well, that's good, because we were only going to keep you halfway through.
Or I might pull a Chris Carson and just get tired about halfway through and say to hell with it.
Are you buying that?
No, not at all.
No.
Are you buying that?
Of course not. It's been
He played two snaps on special teams. What are you talking about? He's gassed.
Yeah.
He's young. He's hungry. He's energetic. He's in peak physical shape. And he's gassed? What the hell are you talking about? Get out of here.
Yeah. Well, what do you think the reason is then?
I think the reason is either A, he's in the doghouse, you know, did something wrong, wasn't hitting the gaps, was doing his own thing, was kind of, you know, improvising out there and not going with the plan, or B, they just, you know, want to see what, you know, their number one draft pick can do to justify taking the guy in the first round.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well,
one of the two, as my father used to say.
Yes. So, yeah.
One of the two.
As a loss last night, 24-17. We normally talk Huskies with Softy here on Tuesdays, but go ahead and do your first segment today, by the way. Go ahead and do it right now on our show, your first segment on the Hawks today.
Well, Russell Wilson's the highest paid player on the football team. He's got to play better. Great quarterbacks make players around them better, and I don't think Russell Wilson's making everybody around him better right now. I think it's a lazy narrative to blame the offensive line for the Seahawks' struggles offensively. I think there's times where Russell does have time in the pocket. I think there's times where Russell does have lanes to see through and open receivers, and he's just not hitting them. And, again, nobody's talking about trading Russell Wilson or not re-signing Russell Wilson or getting rid of Russell Wilson, but thank God that negotiations with Russell don't need to start until the offseason, because if this was week 16 of the NFL season and Russell was a free agent next year, would you feel comfortable giving him $100 million guaranteed right now? I wouldn't.
Yeah, he has to play better, and, you know, there's no question that he's struggling kind of getting adapted to this this new offense for the Hawks. But, I mean, there were a lot of things that went wrong last night, Softy.
Right.
I mean, you can point in a lot of different directions. But I will tell you, I mean, you got to get it figured out at 0-2 at this point in the year. You got your home opener coming up against the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah.
How good are you feeling about that game and avoiding 0-3 at this point?
Well, I mean, I think they'll play better because they'll get Bobby back and they'll get KJ back, and we'll see about Doug. I got a sneaking suspicion that Doug will not play in this game against Dallas, and he might play in the game versus Arizona. But, I mean, here's the concern is that this was supposed to be the soft part of your schedule.
Yep.
with Denver and with Chicago, with Trubisky and Case Keenum, and you're 0-2. And frankly, I don't know how much more your defense could have done for you last night. I mean, you're down everybody, right? I mean, you got guys playing for you last night that, frankly, I've never even heard of, for crying out loud. And you give up 17 points, and you keep this team in the game 2 weeks in a row with a chance to win, and your offense in the last 11 minutes of the fourth quarter of the Bronco game does absolutely jack squat in those last three drives. And then the offense, you know, obviously last night in Chicago for four quarters does nothing. I mean, look, a lot of this is on the coaching staff. There's no question about it. Play calling was terrible in that game yesterday. And I'm not usually one to mention play calling, but Chris Carson comes out on the first three plays of the first drive of the game and looks phenomenal, and then he's gone. He's on the bench. I mean, did the guy have to go to the bathroom or something? What the hell happened to Chris Carson last night? So either A, he said something to the coaching staff when he went back to the sideline. B, like we said, he was just kind of doing his own thing. Or C, this is all part of a master plan to get Rashad Penny into the game and justify their first-round draft pick. And I don't get it. And look, I mean, all we can do is go by what we hear from the coaching staff. And Pete Carroll all week long talked about how Chris Carson has separated himself from Rashad Penny. Yep. He's the number one guy. He's our dude. He's established himself as the premier back on this football team. Didn't look like it last night.
Yep. 87 plays so far offensively this season, 64 passes.
In two games that you have never trailed up until the fourth quarter of that game last night by more than a touchdown.
Right.
Okay, I mean, these were both tight games where you could have dictated the pace. You could have done whatever you wanted to do offensively because you were right there within at least a score maximum of taking the lead or tying the game. So don't tell me that, you know, they had no choice to throw because they were down by 21, 35 points. That's not how these games have gone, and you guys know it.
Softy with us. Husky Tuesdays is what we call this segment with Softy, brought to you by Evergreens Salad. Tired of the same bland and unhealthy meal every day? Go check out Evergreens Salad for the best salads, wraps, and grain bowls in town.
Sounds good.
They're just as passionate about serving you delicious, healthy, and fresh food as we are, as Softy is, about the Huskies, Seahawks, and Mariners. Visit any one of their 11 Seattle area locations, including their new location in downtown Bellevue on Northeast 4th and 105th. Find a location near you at evergreens.com. All right, let's get a little Huskies talk in. What about Saturday's game makes you feel better about the direction of the team, and where does your concern still lie?
Well, I think what makes you feel better about the football team is that this defense can play with anybody in the conference. Look, I mean, I think we knew that already. You know, it was just another affirmation of that on Saturday night. I mean, this defense is badass. And I think what impresses me the most, guys, about this defense is that those two plays where Byron Murphy and JoJo McIntosh knocked the crap out of Britton Covey, those are two plays that I would have expected the referees to throw a flag for targeting because of the nature of college football. Because it's 2018, and when somebody makes a hit like that, well, gee golly, they must be lowering their head, and they must be violating the rules, and it must be targeting, so let's throw a flag, and if we're wrong, we can at least look at it, and we can overturn it after video review. The referees aren't even throwing flags, guys, on the Huskies. I mean, their reputation precedes them, that they know how to knock people out. They know how to play a real physical brand of football in 2018, but do it legally. And that's almost unheard of now in college football. I asked Chris Peterson about that Monday, and he said, yeah, you know, we don't think we can play like that every night because there's going to be times where maybe a wide receiver lowers their head. Maybe you have a flag-happy referee and a guy throws a penalty on us, but the fact that these guys aren't even getting flags thrown on them, you know, not even for the referees just to go back to the video replay and look at it and then change their mind if there was no targeting, it's impressive what Jimmy Lake, it's impressive what Pete Kwiatkowski, and it's impressive what this coaching staff is teaching these guys. They're teaching them how to be freaking, you know, studs on defense and knock the crap out of people but do it legally. That's number one that stood out to me. And then number two, you know, I think, look, you know, from an offensive perspective, they're limited offensively in the pass game right now. There's no question about that. I think still looking for a dynamic wide receiver to step up and be a matchup problem for opposing teams. We're kind of still hoping Ty Jones can be that guy, and maybe he's on his way to being that guy, but he's not all the way there yet. Aaron Fuller is doing some nice things. He's on pace for 80 catches, by the way. You close your eyes and Aaron Fuller is on pace for 80 catches and 1,200 yards of offense, but does he really look like that ultimate downfield threat, that physical wide receiver that can win that one-on-one battle in the corner of the end zone or on the sideline? That guy probably has to be Ty Jones, so I'm still looking for that guy. Jake Browning still is a head scratcher. Looks like at times he's regressed from where he was a couple years ago. I mean, the ultimate, you know, example of that, of the frustration of number three, is the drive at the end of the half of the first half on Saturday, where he hits a great throw to Aaron Fuller down the sideline, and then two plays later, looks like a deer in headlights with that blitz that Utah was throwing at him. So there's no doubt that at times Jake Browning looks like a senior quarterback. There's other times that Jake Browning looks like a guy who's starting his first game in college football, and that should not be the case for a fourth-year guy.
All right, Honks today?
Yes, 3 o'clock this afternoon.
All right, man, thanks.
Be there.
All right, we will, but we'll be there. I'll wear my Sunday best.
If you want to come watch the show in person, you're more than welcome.
I'd love to do that.
Yeah, hang out for a while.
All right, thank you, David.
Yeah. See ya.
All right, Softy joining us here on this Tuesday morning. Tuesday, Huskies, Softy. Wait a minute. Huskies with Softy on Tuesdays?
Yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Something like that. All right, so we interfered, though, with our normal routine because of Monday Night Football. So getting back to some of the other topics at hand. By the way, you were shaking your head over there.
Oh, I... We talked about this on the Husky Honk Show. Dave's absolutely right in the sense that Washington is playing the way they've been taught, which is that you can make great hits without having incidental contact. But we discussed this on Monday. Those were passing plays by a quarterback that was just hanging his guys out to dry. Mm-hmm. And so it was easy for the defenders to line up the strike zone on a receiver who's looking the other way. The issue isn't so much that. It's and by the way, where you'll typically see a problem is when those receivers do turn around at the last instant, they'll drop their head to protect themselves. That didn't happen. But it's the running back head-to-head. It's the between the tackles where guys are shifting and wiggling, and we drew the analogy of the Pedro Martinez moving fastball. So to me, it's not an analogy to say, well, look, the Huskies are doing this, and Utah was getting thrown out here, you know, as if there's this stark contrast. There were different type of plays. Mm-hmm. The Huskies could have just as easily had a hard time sizing up Zach Moss, who's a twitchy dude, and JoJo McIntosh between the tackles. The Huskies have had, they've been thrown out of games. McIntosh's been thrown out of games. Mm-hmm. Azeem Victor's been thrown out, right?
Yep.
So they're different plays. That would be my final.
Yeah. Well, I think there's just a thin margin for error there. I mean, I don't know. I'll say this. I think the officials got it right by the rules on Saturday. And in every instance, I just don't like
not the one on Browning to me. There's got to be forcible. A forcible hit, and the forcible hit was by the first guy who got him in the torso. Browning, that was a car crash. I'm not saying Browning didn't get hit hard. He got hit really hard on that interception. But the second guy, the guy who had supposedly helmet to helmet, mm-hmm. barely grazed his helmet. Mm-hmm. That was not forceful contact on his helmet.
Agreed. All right, I'll agree with that. Miles Gaskin had 30 carries in that game. He didn't get gassed out. He didn't get gassed out.
He didn't get gassed out, right?
Yeah. Six carries, he didn't get gassed. So, do you want to hit the text line?
I don't know. I'm just thinking if I'm, there's no way that's the truth. And if I'm Chris Carson, that's a hell of an indictment on me. The head coach is just throwing that out there for the Seahawk Nation to chew on. Mm-hmm. That this kid can't play, past the 18th minute of the game.
And then to throw special teams in there. When he was on two special teams plays and he had five the previous week.
He's not helping Chris Carson at all.
Not at all. So you challenged the listeners on our Heritage Distilling text line at 49451 to come up with a better reason for Chris Carson getting six carries last night. Slick Ock, do you have any responses to Hugh's challenge?
We've got a few.
Okay.
All right. Carson has Penny on his fantasy football team.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Or maybe Pete had Penny.
I'll give it to Penny.
Yeah. Maybe Pete had Penny on this.
Oh, man.
I need a bed for this, by the way, but go ahead.
I just had the image of Pete getting ready to draft at a fantasy league, getting all fired up for this year's draft.
Throwing in 12 pieces of bubble
gum. Who you got, Belichick? I got Josh Gordon.
Oh, man. He's going to be on the IR.
Anything else?
Chris Carson rode an ATV without a helmet during the second quarter and had an accident injuring his head.
Picking scabs. Okay, man, all right.
That's not good.
What else?
That one was. He was watching Monday Night Football on ESPN. Oh, this one's not good. Carson's shoes were untied. Pete and the team have been firm on their stance. He wants to play and needs to tie his shoes.
Yeah, like the Michigan guy from a few years back. Okay.
Russell Wilson's in-game massage therapist sprung his right hand, so Chris Carson had to take over for him.
Oh, all right. Well, that sounds a little...
I didn't even want to think about that.
Carson wanted to one-up Vontae Davis and actually retired early in the second quarter.
Yep.
Chris Carson pulled his hamstring carrying his luggage down the stairs, just like Kaz Sasaki.
Oh. Yep, remember the luggage one, Bucky?
I do.
Yes.
Okay, all right.
And finally, Chris Carson, had sex with Russell Wilson's wife.
Oh, jeez.
That would get you benched, I think.
I thought only wide receivers did that.
Yeah, well.
Well, maybe
beginning of the
quarters.
Second quarter.
You know that long drive that Chicago had?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of time there.
Boy. Chris should be more focused than that. Chris, I think we can all agree.
Yeah.
He shouldn't leave the field.
Till halftime.
Till
halftime.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's time.
It's kind of heroic. Kind of like need a cape for that move.
Yeah, it's true. I don't know if you bench a guy.
I don't
know
if I call it heroic.
It wasn't heroic when it was Ashton.
Pull it off.
Now that it's Sierra, it's slightly more heroic.
All right, coming up next, we appreciate you participating out there. We will talk more with Hugh about maybe talk a little defense on the other side. And all I can tell you about Hugh Millen today is that he said, I haven't had my chance to talk about Michael Kendricks yet. Boy, that means something.
Oh, yeah. Let's get it.
Maybe we'll get into that next.
Ladies and gentlemen,
coming to you live on Seattle's original diehard sports station, Seattle Sports Radio 950, KJR. Now back to Chuck and Buck in the morning.
Once we got out of the penalty situation with the defense, the guys played really good. I think that it's remarkable to note what Kalicho and how Austin Kalicho played. Michael coming in a couple days' time. Hakeem King starting and playing for the first time ever. Those guys did a nice job because we played a good night on defense, and we really gave ourselves a chance with a couple turnovers, and we weren't able to capitalize on those, but still they stopped them and got their offense off the field a couple times that were huge. It's our first time together, and I'm feeling kind of
conventional methods of making love kind of boring. Pete Carroll on the Seahawks defensive effort last night, a 24-17 loss to the Chicago Bears. At the end of the game, statistics were pretty even in the game last night, but... I think watching the game told a little bit of a different story. Mitchell Trubisky may have had a hand in helping out the defense staying in this game. But, man, good effort all around. A lot of missing parts, a lot of crucial missing parts to this team, with Bobby Wagner, KJ Wright both being sidelined in that game last night. Hugh Millen is with us for a little Monday morning quarterback, talking about last night's game. And Michael Kendricks, who was signed last week, rather controversially, he contributed. He had a sack. He had a tackle for a loss. He had a pass defense. He had a quarterback hit. Four tackles in the game. Played a lot from his linebacker position. But I guess I'll ask you, since you were wondering if we'd talked about this lately, should he have even been out on the field?
Oh, yeah. Well, I watched him closely last night, and it struck me at this juncture of his career right now, just how much of a better player he is than Shaquem Griffin. I mean, there's a bona fide, real agile, powerful man who's quick, and he's a veteran. You know, against Denver, there was two times where there's a little shallow pass concept where you take an outside guy and bring him into the middle at about 5-6 yards and stop him, and then have the inside go to the out. It's just a little, you know, a variation of some type of cross release, and guys can get gummed up. And Shaquem Griffin, in his limited time, had twice where that kind of fouled him up. And then there was a very conspicuous play last night where Michael Kendricks broke up that play, that same type of concept. And so it just underscored, you know, okay, this is why you get a veteran and a talented one. I was just wondering off air whether you guys had weighed in on that, and maybe this isn't the time, maybe that's just a topic for another time, but had you guys weighed in on
it? Oh yeah, mm-hmm. Absolutely. And it's a strange one. It's odd because of it's not a violent crime. I said I would not have signed him. I stick to that. I would not have signed him. But I don't hate that they did, that I can understand the argument against, or the argument for bringing him in. Martha Stewart's still making doilies, isn't she? And she pretty much did the same thing. So he'll serve his time at some point, but nobody ever stopped Martha Stewart from selling bath towels. That's kind of where I sit with it all.
I think there's a little bit of a different, now there may be good reason to support it, but I think that's different. Martha Stewart is basically her own enterprise. She's her own empire, right? Okay. The National Football League, paragraph two of the player contract says that a player needs to, quote, conduct himself on and off the field with appropriate recognition of the fact that the success of professional football depends largely on public respect for and approval of those associated with the game. And of course, Goodell has various latitudes as well that allows for him to weigh in on what he deems conduct detrimental to the integrity of the game.
Well,
so
he's, I think, going there's to some too. Yeah.
They already did. They have already handed down some sort of suspension. I think that he's appealing, right? So, I mean, to me it doesn't.
I don't think they're going to get him through January. Let's just
right.
put it that way.
I wouldn't be surprised if it's a couple week rental and all of a sudden they're like, nope, you broke the conduct code, you're suspended.
Yeah, to me as a layperson, I draw a distinction between a misdemeanor and a felony. And generally, right, you're less than a year in jail for, you know, I understand there's gross misdemeanors and what have you, but a felony, you're in prison. That by its definition in our society, that's a big crime. I mean, insider trading poses a threat to U.S. financial markets because it compromises the public's trust that our markets operate fairly. Now, you know, we have the largest economy in the world that's larger than the number two and number three, larger than China and Japan combined. I don't know how the financial markets have impacted that. That's out of my lane. But it seems to me that people having public trust to invest in companies so that companies can grow, so the economy can grow and people can have more jobs. It seems to me like that's important. Now, I understand there's some people say maybe you need to legalize it. So maybe it's not that bad. But when you start talking about compromising the public trust in U.S. financial markets, mm-hmm. that sounds serious to me. And where I really confirm that it's serious, it's a felony. And so my only reservation is what I'll say, Blue Friday. I go around Seattle and I see Blue Friday, and I see people, and I assume not all of them are passionate fans that are listening in to this station. They're peripheral Seahawks fans. And so that's the pause that I have. From this community standpoint, and it wouldn't be the people listening again to this station, but does the people, the average gal that you see or dude that you see wearing a Seahawks jersey that's going to watch the game but isn't that much, how do they feel about the Seahawks having a felon out there mm-hmm. and being willing to hire a felon? Now, maybe in this case, one time, you know, you say, did you compartmentalize Frank Clark? But is this the mulligan you're going to use? I would say this. Last night, the dude was damn good, and they were a much better defense. So either way, I'm a little bit conflicted, but I don't want to just shoot aside and say, well, it's victimless.
Hang on. I didn't know, but nobody said that. I didn't say that.
No, you didn't. I beg your pardon. But I have heard that term. It's victimless.
It wasn't a violent crime, but it doesn't mean it's not a serious crime.
And you chose the right words. It wasn't a violent crime. And that's worth noting. It's not a violent crime. That would violate paragraph 2 of the contract more egregiously. Any common sense interpretation would say that the public's respect for the people associated with the game of football, that's important. That's important to, quote, the success of professional football.
I think to hammer home your point further, I think the NFL's all over this. I don't think he's going to be around for a while. And so why would you take this PR hit? Why would you make this controversial move just to fill in the gap? To win last night.
And he did his part.
KJ Wright can come back.
Last night.
But is it worth it? Because you didn't even end up winning the game. So we're going to fill in KJ Wright's starting outside linebacker spot for potentially one game, and we're going to take this PR hit for signing a felon to a contract. I'm not sure that adds up.
And just so I clarify, because I was really harsh against the commissioner with the Zeke Elliott situation, and the part that I didn't like about that, and the portion that has been collectively bargained to Roger Goodell to punish players for, quote, conduct detrimental to the integrity of or public confidence in the game of professional football. That part, Goodell has taken latitude. The part I didn't like about that with Zeke Elliott is due process. The due process part of the Fifth Amendment, that should be central to all. I understand that governs the government, but it should be a thought that all of us as Americans think. The due process, the guy has a right to cross-examine people who bring evidence against him. He has a right to an attorney to bring his own evidence and to cross-examine evidence. And so for Goodell to sit back in New York and say, well, I think this is conduct detrimental, you're tarnishing a man's reputation for his entire life. As long as Google remains in this guy's living life, his reputation is tarnished, even when he's in the grave for his children. Mm-hmm. So for him to be attached with some type of sexual misconduct, I want to make damn sure that guy has due process. This doesn't apply with Michael Kendricks. Michael Kendricks pleaded guilty to a felony. We're not in dispute about the due process part of that.
Right.
At least the material part of the due process, as I see, as it conflicts with Goodell's rights that have been granted to him collectively bargained. So I just want to clarify my thoughts on that. Having a felon out there, you could say it's not violent, and the victims, it's really kind of nebulous who the victims are. It's kind of an institution that's the victim. Mm-hmm. But it's a felony. Yeah. And so we as a society, our elected officials have determined it's not a misdemeanor. It's not a gross misdemeanor. It's a felony. Mm-hmm. So you put a felon out there. I just want to make sure that we all kind of understand the gravity of that.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's worth talking about. Coming up next, Coach Holmgren is here. We will talk to Coach about his thoughts after last night's 24-17 loss to the Bears.